Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, welcome in to the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Appreciate Luke Bryan for welcoming us in to the show today. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Thanks, Luke. You pair that with, I just looked up at the TV and I saw Joe Burrow with his M&M head. It's a lot of unsettling things happening in the world today.
Somebody did a side-by-side. So apparently Burrow, like a couple of weeks ago, was at some fashion week, whatever, in Paris or somewhere. You know, he's looking all fancy and had, you know, the swoof in the hair and all that. And then he showed up yesterday looking like Eminem from 2002. It was quite something.
Yeah, why? So he did bleach it?
I mean, he did.
It looks like
it looked
right?
Like he did.
Yeah. Some kids at our high school do that. What are you doing, Joe?
Maybe that means they're winning the Super Bowl this year. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, look.
It was an interesting look.
Going shorter during this time of year, I
sure.
Get.
Yeah.
But man, what a beautiful mane that just got cut there.
Yeah, you know, as somebody who doesn't have hair, when people who do get rid of it, bothers me a little bit.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that.
That's why you have great hair. Look at
you. Yeah, I mean, you know, I keep the lettuce, you know. I have to have some lettuce. I did just get a haircut, but I don't cut it too short.
Nick Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing well. By the way, it was Vogue that Burrow was
Vogue.
Doing. He did it with Jamar Chase, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Vogue is where they were.
Yeah. That's how they kick-started things off.
Like
yeah.
Vogue magazine?
Yep. They did, yeah.
But they went to Paris to do a shoot for Vogue magazine.
That's correct.
Wow. So how about that?
Impressive. Okay.
And then you go off and cut your hair all off your head immediately after. Good for you, Joe.
Yep. Good luck.
Hope things go well.
Maybe you'll stay healthy with less hair.
Maybe so. We got a lot to get into on the program today. We will have Paul Kuharsky 1 hour earlier than normal. So PK will be in from 7 to 8 with us on the program today. Some obviously Titans things going on right around 9 o'clock, 9:15. So PK will be with us an hour earlier than normal today from 7 to 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, Anthony Robinson press conference yesterday and his thoughts on the state of the Titans as a whole as we're set to begin the first day of training camp on the field today. Joe Rexroad, you were there yesterday for Brian Callahan, or Mr. Callie, whatever you want to call him, Rand Carthon and Anthony Robinson. We're going to get into a lot of different topics kind of individually, but generally your thoughts on what you heard yesterday from Callahan, Carthon, and Robinson.
Yeah, so the news items, there were some news items. I think, you know, pretty decent, actually, for the Titans. The fact that PUP, you start with Nicholas Petit-Frere, but it sounds like it's very minor.
Yep.
I guess you could – I heard Stille, it's another injury. But, you know, apparently he had a little cleanup on a knee. I think that's probably better than, yes, the shoulder from last, what, December or November?
Yeah, November, I think.
Yeah, I think November.
I would agree.
Is still an issue. Yeah, a little cleanup of a knee, that you actually would prefer that. So it's supposed to be a couple days, so that's good. Obviously, it'd be better if he was ready to take the field today, but Mr. Callie made it seem like it wasn't that big of a deal. So there's that. There's, you know, more a little bit of confirmation. I mean, a lot of the questions, I think all the questions we talked about yesterday were asked one way or the other. And so Legarius Sneed will have some kind of a maintenance plan,
yep.
Wasn't specified, but he'll have some kind of a maintenance plan. You've got the, we'll talk more about it, but the starters in the preseason, confirmation there that that's going to happen. Interesting, too, it will not be, you know, some people think about the second preseason game being the, maybe like the new third game, the new dress rehearsal. Well, that won't happen for the Titans because that's the week they're doing the Seahawks, and he did say that will be the game he'll have less of the starters just because they just took part in those two practices with the Seahawks. He also said Mason Rudolph, Malik Willis. They will have a equal chance at the backup job. So there you go. I don't think that's like, you know, look, at some point a decision's made. I think it would definitely be an upset if Malik Willis passes Mason Rudolph to be QB2. But, you know, at some point, you know, Mason Rudolph probably needs more reps and all that and get him ready. But, you know.
I don't expect the coach to say anything different on the eve of training camp.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, but the reps I expect to follow that too and not just be coach speak. I mean, I think the reps – I don't think he's going to say that and then not do the reps that way. But, yeah, I think Rudolph will be the backup and at some point we'll probably get more of those reps. You've got Tavondre Sweat. I mean, I think that's one of the better pieces of news. He's all good to go.
Yep.
He was asked about the conditioning test and he just said he's ready to roll. Looks good, so – sounds like he did that. I mean, you know, I think passing the conditioning test, if you don't pass a conditioning test, that's a real problem. So I don't, it's not like it's some huge achievement to do that, but still, just confirmation that he's healthy, he's passed his stuff, he's going to be out there today. He'll be one of the most followed players today because obviously everybody's going to try to see if they can, you know, be like a carnival barker and guess his weight,
yes.
You know. But that was good news.
Still need to bring a scale today.
Oh, yeah.
Never quite got Aaron Brewer to step on it. Maybe we can get Tavondre Sweat to step on it.
By the way, TD almost made me drive off the road last week. He was talking about at practices how he loves when Stilley's like behind the goalpost and he's saying good array. He's like, and then his little shirt comes up his belly. And it's like Winnie the Pooh. I almost seriously crashed my car.
That's good stuff.
My goodness.
Speaking of kicking, Ryan Stonehouse looks like he's going to be ready to go to start camp. Both Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon saying the last step in his rehab process is basically the mental side of things, feeling a rush, and you know, obviously he's not going to get hit in training camp, and hopefully he's not going to get hit in a game again. That would be great, but that kind of that next step of feeling pressure around you, having to get the punt off quickly. Says he's kicking the ball well, and Ryan Stonehouse ready to go at the start of camp. So I'm a little surprised by that. I thought it may take some time for Stonehouse before he would be ready, but it looks like Stonehouse is in a good spot heading into camp.
Yeah, and Carthon said he was in the building more than anybody in the offseason, like 7 days a week, being there on a Sunday and working really hard to get himself ready. So, yeah, that seems like good news. You don't want it to be rushed, but certainly the trainers have been involved in this and stuff. And I don't think they're going to let him overstep on that, so that's a big deal for sure. You also have the little bit of talk about Jamal Adams yesterday. I don't know. Apparently I did not take from that Jamal Adams is starting at safety. I don't at all take it from that. I guess Jared did, but another safety, and also he concluded that what the answer were that they weren't going to sign another safety. I don't take that from the answers either.
It's a mind-bending going on.
I mean, some of these things, like, what? How did that? Okay, let me go back and listen to it again. How did you take from that? No, I don't take from that they're definitely not signing another safety. Yeah, they said they talked in generalities. Oh, in every position could be, you know, sure. That's coach speak. That's GM speak. But there was no confirmation yesterday that they're not signing another safety. That's silly. But Callahan did talk about going against Adams previously and how he can be a problem and all that stuff. And, you know, people in this league definitely remember him when he used to be good. DeAndre Hopkins, that one, I did kind of read the same thing into it, which was, you know, like Carthon was at TD, asked Carthon about talking about an extension.
Yep.
And he talked, you know, he was general, he didn't want to get into it. Not going to talk about our negotiating. And Jared did good job, asked him, you know, is Hopkins one of those guys? He said, there's a lot of guys like, is Hopkins one of those guys? And he's like, he's on the team, and he kind of laughed. I think certainly, and one thing Rand said was he's very straightforward. They've had some straightforward conversations. I'm sure that I'd love to hear those conversations about this extension.
Yep.
How about 20 this time? How about 20, Rand?
Yep.
20 for 25. But I get this. I do get the sense that that's definitely a possibility.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I thought that answer was pretty interesting. A couple other things on the Callahan front. Basically said the competition on the right side of the offensive line, meaning guard and tackle, is going to be open the whole camp, and said, I think, quote, You probably won't hear who's going to start there until the opening game, to be honest. Those will be open jobs. That's a competition. Competition raises the level of performance, all that stuff. We'll see if it actually plays out that way, and there's not a starter that we know until the opening game here. But I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, right guard, right tackle could take a while to really identify as to who's going to be the two guys there. And then didn't really want to get into the naming a starter at running back either. Like, basically talked about how they're going to use Spears and Pollard a lot. They're going to deploy both of those guys, and didn't really get into the naming a starter part of it at running back either.
Yeah, and I think that's how it is.
I do too.
Yeah, like, I think that's not just coach speak. I mean, sure, it's like with anything. You want guys to think they're in a competition, even if they aren't, and you want as much competition as possible, as much motivation as possible. But I've always looked at the running back position since they added Pollard as basically 1A, 1B, take your choice on who's out there first. And then I think some games it'll probably be different in terms of who gets more snaps and touches. The competition on the right side is interesting. It's hard for me to buy that they're actually, like, both of those spots are just going to be totally up in the air the whole time. I mean, look, at some point, you know, they're going to do team stuff here pretty soon, and then someone's going to be a one at both, and then we'll see if it changes, you know? But if it doesn't change, then, yeah, they could still be in competitions, and maybe, you know, the reps are, maybe they rotate guys in and things like that, but I would just guess that there will be clarity. He did say you'd like to have the clarity, but I mean, I guess it's just like right now predicting it'll go all the way to game week. Like, you don't know. How could you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, how could you know that someone isn't going to emerge? That often happens.
Someone may run away with the job in a week and a half here. I mean, it's
right.
Just I think his point is you just kind of have to see how it plays out.
They don't know now.
They don't know now. But that could change quickly. Could be a while. We'll see. I would assume if it takes a while, that could be one of two things. It could be really good where it's like, oh, golly, these two or three guys are playing well. Or it's, man, is anybody going to take the starting right tackle job? It's not good.
Right. And, I mean, if you talk to any offensive line coach, the five guys together getting work is definitely important.
Yes. I
mean, that's part of the – that's probably as important an aspect of what Callahan was talking about with the preseason games as anything, right, is the offensive line – having some drives together to try to, you know, to try to see how they function as a unit. So it is, but it's like three, it's technically, I guess, three guys at each spot, but then they added, you know, Jerron Christian, who you could make him a fourth guy. If you want to go Ojukwu, you could make that a fifth guy at right tackle. So, I mean, there's a glut of possibilities.
Training camp starts today. Titans are on the field. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Your Titans questions. We'll have more thoughts from Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, Anthony Robinson yesterday as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Guys, obviously, that probably need as much work as they can get. Others that maybe don't need as much. How do you kind of structure that maybe in camp?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing is they all need the football work when the pads come on, and you only get so many padded practices, and so there's a time and a place for all the guys to need work. And I think that you know, even guys like Hop and Jeffrey, who played a long time and been very successful players, they still need the work to get ready to play. You know, NFL football on Sundays in the regular season. So we'll balance that. I mean, there's definitely guys that'll have a little bit of maybe a period off or some reps off or even a day off here and there as the camp goes along. But the way the schedules are nowadays and the way the camp is, it's a lot different than it used to be. So, you know, you manage guys as they need it, but they also need the work too.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday at the Titans introductory press conferences heading into camp. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Yeah, I am interested to see how Brian Callahan kind of handles the camp schedule here. One thing that was also interesting to hear him talk about a little bit yesterday was the dynamic warm-up that they do now, the stretching that goes on, trying to prevent some injuries out there. Looks like Brian Callahan and the training staff trying to make some adjustments.
Yeah, not just doing stretching. It's
dynamic.
It's kind of like jazzercise.
Yeah.
If you if you are familiar with Jazz. By the way, rest in peace, Richard Simmons.
Yes.
The OG of home exercise.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, like, it's – I mean, I heard that yesterday, and they spent – you know, he spent like 2.5 minutes talking about dynamic warm-ups. So, interesting use of press conference time yesterday. But I did think it was interesting, and I something obviously needs to be done, right? I mean, they've had a lot of injuries the last 3 years, so – anything you could do to try to change that up a little bit, I guess I'm all for if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, and I think – I mean, I don't – like, they're not the only team that does that stuff.
They're not.
You know, it's – again, every time this comes up, you know, the football in this league is – it's all stolen. They all steal from each other, but it's also very proprietary, very competitive, very cutthroat, spy versus spy. The medical information and techniques and things like that are not – generally approached the same way.
Yeah. A lot of discussing of information going on. These, you know, basically confirmation yesterday from Callahan that Snead's going to be on a plan, and kind of reiterated what Rand Carthon did when they originally signed him, which was the goal is to get him out there on Sundays. As long as he's out there on Sundays, you know, he did this last year and he was able to play pretty much every snap for Kansas City. So we heard more of that yesterday from Brian Callahan, which tells me, Joe, that I don't know how much of L'Jarius Sneed we're going to see in training camp. I'm sure hopefully we'll see some, I think, but I don't know how regular of an appearance L'Jarius Sneed's going to make out there in training camp.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, and I don't know exactly. It's not like he just didn't take part in camp last year for the Chiefs. He did, but did he – but he definitely missed chunks of time. So there definitely wasn't clarity. I wouldn't have expected there to be, like, any real clarity. I'm sure some of it is going to be reacting to how he's feeling, right? Like, after a week or after a day, it's like, I mean, you're going to react either way, right, to how it feels. So there's no you know, clear plan discussed. I think he's going to be out there some, though. I mean, I would expect to see him out there some.
Yeah.
The days he's out there, you know, those are like the special days, I guess.
I guess I don't
know. We'll see.
Well, I mean, one of the matchups in camp from a position-on-position standpoint that I certainly would be interested in would be those three wide receivers. And, look, you can throw Burks in there if you want to, against that corner group, right? Like, it's in terms of training camp matchups, I mean – it's training camp, so I'm not going to put too much into it. But I would love to see, you know, Hopkins going up against the Woozy and Ridley going up against Snead. Like,
yeah.
That sounds fun to me. Like, give me as much of that as you can possibly have in Titans training camp.
Exactly. And those are real matchups. You've got you have matchups, of course, of pass pro and pass rushers. It's not like full contact. It's pretty much a pretty good look at it, which apparently it's going well for Andre Dillard already.
Yeah.
And your Packers.
I saw, you know, Packers Twitter yesterday. You know, they got a bunch of fans out there watching. It was the middle of a monsoon yesterday, so it's just raining. And all these Packers writers are tweeting about, it's like, Rashawn Gary, a sack. Rashawn Gary, another sack. Rashawn Gary's got 3 sacks on 4 plays.
He's amazing.
And I was like, okay, well, I know Rashawn Gary is really good. Who in the world is he going up against? And then the next tweet I saw was, Andre Dillard cannot block Rashawn Gary. Like, well, yeah, guys, I could have told you that.
It's amazing.
Way to go, Andre. Pick it right up where you left off, baby. Consistency.
He is the most, like, and I get it to a point. It's just like what they were talking about last year. All the traits, the size, that's why he's a first-round pick. But at some point, don't you realize someone can't play at all?
That's what I was in my Packers group chat last night. And my comment was, I would just love to know what tape they've seen that makes them say, yeah, Andre Dillard, yeah, come on in. Yeah, I'd love to know.
Well, look, in all seriousness, if Andre Dillard wanted to pick through last year's tape, I mean, you can eliminate the, like, 15 horrific plays and probably find some good reps, right?
Probably more than that.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, 25, 30, whatever it is. Like, you could put yourself you could put yourself together a good tape, but like, how do you ignore the bad?
I don't know. But hey, just training camp.
Hey. getting Rashawn Gary some confidence.
Rashawn Gary's going to be ready to go.
But yeah, like that would be the – so obviously, yeah, I want to see Landry going at J.C. Latham, you know. And Arden Key is mostly over that side, and that's a good look for sure. And that's a good look for him. It's not an elite guy, but it's a good look.
Yeah.
Different kind of – you want to see different kinds of looks, though, because I think Arden Key is a little bit – like, once you kind of get what he does, you kind of know it, whereas, you know, maybe some of these other young guys can give him different looks.
I think we may have discovered the key to unlocking Key, no pun intended, to unlocking Arden Key's potential this year. Just have somebody on the sideline hold up a picture, like one of those fat heads of Kuharski, and Key will get so mad that he'll just bull rush everybody. He'll be good to go.
Kuharsk.
Yeah.
That damn Kuharsk.
Kuharsk right up there on top. That'd be the way to go. Ed on the text line, I wonder what the conversation with Burks was like. Was it a come-to-Jesus meeting? Red Carthon did mention a conversation with he and Treylon Burks that he and Callahan had heading into the offseason, said that Burks has responded very well, apparently is sending in pictures of his physique to Rand Carthon and the Titans.
Yeah, more talk of pictures of Treylon.
Yeah, a lot of talk about pictures of Treylon this offseason.
Insta model.
But he apparently has responded the right way. And, you know, Carthon went on yesterday about how he's still a young guy. And now he's got three veteran guys to learn from in front of him. I thought it was a lot of nice speak from Carthon yesterday on Treylon Burks. And we'll see if, number one, he can stay healthy and if he can make any sort of impact on the team.
Yeah, and no, I don't think it was like a come-to-Jesus meeting. I mean, Treylon Burks, again, I think he's tried to do the right things. You know, again, he was all ready to rock a year ago, and he was performing well, and it hasn't happened for him in games. Is that on him? It's got to be partially on him for sure, right? It's got to be partially on him, but it may just be – he may just not be good enough. Like, I don't think that there's, like, some issue of Treylon needing to – work harder or whatever. I mean, I think more than anything, they probably want to rebuild his confidence. And then again, will he be healthy? Well, is he going to avoid one of these awful injuries that he keeps having over and over in games? So, you know, that at this point though, it's not like you have to have a hard conversation with him. You just draft and sign over him and kind of, you know, change where he is in the pecking order,
which is what they've done. And now we'll see how he responds to it. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Again, Paul Kuharski will be with us 1 hour earlier today, normally on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. Today, from 7 to 8, with the Titans getting rolling a little bit earlier this morning. So, PK coming up here in about 30 minutes. Coming up next, it is time for The Choice is Yours. I got a Titans edition of The Choice is Yours for you.
Okay.
Get ready. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now, the choice is yours. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for The Choice is Yours. We'll take your participation, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025, a Titans edition of The Choice is Yours today. I'm up in the questions chair. Let's start with this question. I tried to pick the right amount of games here to make it somewhat challenging. Here we go. Tavondre Sweat and Legarius Sneed will both play 12-plus games for the Titans this year. Tavondre Sweat, Legarius Sneed, both of them will play 12-plus games for the Titans this year. Yes or no? How do we feel?
I'll go yes.
Okay.
Sweat hasn't had, you know, missing game injury issue. I mean, for him, it's he had the whatever he had in the spring. It's the weight and it's the shape. But you know, at this point, I mean, an important guy. I'll just, you know, guess health. I mean, any kind of predictions with any team, you're guessing health. And then Sneed, like Callahan said yesterday, the model they did last year allowed him to play almost every snap last season. So at some point, there might be a 7-game season coming up for him, but at this point, I got to guess. Yeah, I would go. Yeah.
Yeah, it's early. I think they both play in 12 games this year. 12's tough because kept thinking to myself for a second there, can Sneed make it? Like, that's my more of a concern here is can he actually make it to 12 games? I mean, I hope so. You know, Sweat should, no exceptions, because he's very young and, you know, today's a start to see if he's available for
camp. Well, that's the thing. Like, so. We're going to find out more about Sweat, I think, here in the next couple weeks, right? Like, I'd like to see him get through camp. Like, get through camp, be available, be healthy through camp. You know, look, the Snead stuff is concerning, right? Like, it's regardless of the fact that he played in every game last year. That's great. And ultimately, Carthon and Callahan are right. That's the only thing that matters, is if he plays in the games. But the fact that you're having to, like, go to this length to get him to be available to play does make me worried to death that, like, at some point, it's like a ticking time bomb and it's not gonna work anymore.
Yeah. Well, and that's where it's going to be interesting, is, like, what is the program?
Yeah.
Is it like he's missing a day a week? Or is it like, we'll see you every once in a while? He's like Punxsutawney Phil out here, you know?
I'm going to go no.
You're going to go no?
I'm going to go no. I don't think both of them will play 12-plus games.
Okay. You got to remember these things.
Well, write it down.
Write it down.
The mental checklist. Just like last year, we did the Hopkins versus Burks, who will have more yards.
Yeah.
I wrote that one down.
I'm glad you remember that one.
Speaking of, which Tennessee Titan will have the most receptions? Not the most yards. Which Tennessee Titan will have the most receptions this year in this offense?
It's a great question.
Thank you.
I've heard TD go with Tyler Boyd, which I think is interesting. And certainly you can see a whole bunch of gimmies to move the chains and things like that. But I'm going to go Hopkins. I think it's Hopkins. I think he's just going to be a really high volume, you know, possession receiver, and a friendly, familiar outlet for Will Levis. You could make a case for Spears too. I think you could make a case for Ridley, but I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins.
Nick Kieser, who leads the Titans in receptions this year?
I'm going to say Calvin Ridley.
Okay.
I think Calvin has a big season for this team. I think he looks more like a wide receiver one than maybe fans, you know, maybe had thought at the initial outset of him signing here with the Titans. So Calvin Ridley, I think, will be a surprisingly great pickup for the Titans this year.
I'll go Hopkins leading them in receptions, Ridley in yards. We talked about the yards part of it yesterday. I think Ridley is going to be more of a big play guy. Not that Ridley can't, you know, have 75, 80 catches and move the chains and do all that stuff. It's not like he's just going to be running go routes all the time out there. But I think Hopkins, I like the chemistry that he and Levis built last year. I think that's going to still exist. I think they're going to build on that. I think Hopkins will have more catches. Ridley will have more yards. That's the way I view it.
I'm with you.
Will Levis will throw fewer than 15 interceptions this year. I went and looked at this. You know, I didn't want to make the number too high. Didn't want to make it too low. Burrow's second year, which the Bengals got to the Super Bowl, I think he threw like 33 touchdowns and 14 picks. So kind of like right on the line of this. Will Levis will throw 15 or fewer picks this year.
Yeah, that's right around. That's a good over-under number. Of course, you could tie this to, if you don't think he's going to stay healthy, then you feel good.
Well, you could.
You feel better about
saying.
You
could say he'd throw none.
He'll throw less. So last year, Will Levis threw what, four? Right? Okay, so Will Levis threw four, and he threw that in how many?
Played nine games.
So he played nine games. So that's half. So half a season, 255 attempts, he threw four picks.
They're going to be throwing more this year.
They are going to be throwing more this year, no doubt about it. He still is, despite that number. He had some would-be picks that didn't turn out to be picks. I'll go over. I'll say he'll be a little bit over that.
Okay. A little bit over 15.
I tend to agree with that sentiment as well. I'm just thinking of maybe previous quarterbacks that are in a pass-heavy offense, that are younger. I don't know. And I think just until we see that true consistency from him, I mean, it is going to be difficult to not throw, I think, 15. So Will Levis, I think he'll have a very productive season, but 15 picks I think seems pretty reasonable to achieve this year for a guy that's in his second year.
I'll go under, barely. I think he ends up 13, 14, somewhere in that neighborhood, but I'll go slightly under. I think part of the help on that is the offense and getting the ball out quickly and knowing where to go with it. I hope you see some strides from him there this year. You're right. Like, I think he probably deserved to throw a few more picks than he actually did last year. We talked about that even dating back to his college days of, you know, every now and then there's some errant throws, but more importantly than that, some decisions that you're just like, ooh, I don't know about that, man. So that's got to get better as he moves forward here. But I'll go under. I mean, Kyle from Shelbyville on the text line says 40 touchdowns, 15 picks. I think you'd sign up for that right now if you're the Titans.
Oh, I think you would. Well, if you want to go real quick by interception percentage leaders last year, C.J. Stroud led the league 1.0%. Then Pickett, 1.2. Carr, 1.5. Prescott, 1.5. Lamar, 1.5. Herbert, 1.5. Levis, 7th, tied with Kirk Cousins and Joe Burrow at 1.6.
Well, between those
that's
numbers
pretty good.
And his red zone efficiency, which Warren Sharp pointed out a few weeks ago, I feel pretty good about it. I feel pretty good about the under.
You can find some stats that'll tell you it's just gonna. He'll be out of a job by week three too, if you want.
Ryan Tannehill will be on a roster by week one. Yes or no? Ryan Tannehill will be on an NFL roster by week one.
At this point, I have to think he must be considering just hanging it up. Made a lot of money, got a young family. He's gotten increasingly banged up. When he came to Nashville, he'd already had a serious knee and shoulder injury. So I'm going to guess no. I do think that he's been selective to try to find a place where he could at least, if not start, if not be a bridge starter, at least maybe have a real opportunity because the starter is vulnerable. But I could see him at this point not wanting to be the clipboard guy for a few years and make a few more million dollars. So I'm going to say no.
Not on week one, but I think he will land on a roster at some point.
That is my answer, too. I think this is just a total guess, obviously.
He's going to do the Flacco thing from the couch?
Yeah. Like I'm not speaking to Ryan Tannehill when he's out there on the boat drinking Celsius, whatever he's doing. But like I could see the starter goes down. Somebody needs a veteran quarterback. They feel like they're still on the doorstep of winning something, and they call him. I could see that.
And that's
and that may be what he's waiting for. I don't
absolutely
know.
So you stay in shape, you stay ready, and that's a – look, last year when Cleveland lost Deshaun Watson and they went to Flacco, I was like, Flacco? Really? Flacco? And he was really good. Tannehill this year, if that is what he does, like – it's a very good option. I mean, you know, relative to like in a lot of seasons when people are like, Phil Rivers, I know you have 93 kids and you're coaching all of them in soccer, but can you come out here, gol darn it?
Well, think about last year. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers went down 4 plays into the year. I think they had like Ryan Tannehill out there on the streets just ready to go get.
I think it's a quick.
Yeah.
It's a gimme. Yeah. So, no, I think I like that. I like that mindset. That's a good thought. I think that's a – now, you know, hopefully no one gets hurt.
Yeah,
you know,
we're not wishing an injury on anybody, but the odds are somebody's going to get hurt.
The reality of this league is there's going to be some kind of opportunity.
I got a text that says, offensive coach, better receivers. Hey, 2 touchdowns a game is 34, at least that. People are going a high bar for Levis.
Okay.
34 touchdowns. Kyle said 40.
I think he'll be into the 30s in TDs and around – 17, 18 picks and close to 4,000 yards, which is a pretty good year.
That's a pretty good year. I mean, what did Stroud have last year? Like, Stroud, I don't think, threw for that many touchdowns last year, if memory serves me correctly. And, of course, I can't find his Pro Football Reference page at the moment because the internet's not working. But
oh, good.
I think he was like 23.
I got you. Yeah, so he threw 23 picks, and he only or 23 touchdowns. Only threw 5 picks.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But those are interesting numbers. He threw 4,100 yards. He had 499 attempts. So it's not like he didn't throw, but they just didn't throw picks, and yeah, not a lot of TDs. It's kind of interesting numbers.
Very interesting. 615-737-1025. Our phone number 615-737-1025. Speaking of interesting. A brilliant Capital J journalism question from Joe Rexroad yesterday to Brian Callahan, which we'll get into coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us for the 7 o'clock hour. 1 hour earlier today for PK. Titans getting rolling a little bit earlier this morning, so PK will be with us from 7 to 8. Talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A capital J journalism question by Joe Rexroach yesterday, who works for the people, gets to the bottom of things for the people. And you brought this up with Brian Callahan yesterday about his plan for the preseason and how many starters we could see, what that plan rotation could look like once preseason games come around. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say yesterday on that front.
Do you have a framework in mind in terms of starters and how much you want them in this game, that game?
Yeah, those conversations we've kind of started between Rand and I and working through what that's going to look like. I'll hesitate to say anything now because it could change. I don't want to pin myself down to one thing, but I do. You know, our team needs to play together. They need to play football together. We need to operate on offense and to operate on defense. We got a lot of new faces and new people here. So that's an important part of the preseason to me. So our starters will play. They'll play enough is probably the best way to put it. And then just philosophically, when we practice against the Seahawks for 2 days, they'll probably play less in that game because they'll get a bunch of heavy work for 2 days against them anyway in practice. But I do see our starters will probably play in all three games, and we'll see, you know, what that looks like lengthwise. But we need to play together and operate together and play some football before we get started.
So I thought that was interesting from Brian Callahan yesterday. I mean, it seems like on the surface that it's going to be a different approach than we've seen from Vrabel the last few years as it relates to starters in the preseason. And, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, look, Kenny Pickett and the Steelers got out there and played in the preseason last year and looked like they might be the greatest show on turf and then couldn't move the football at all once the actual season came around. So I don't know how much actual correlation there is between starters playing in the preseason and that meaning that you start off well in the regular season. But I do agree with him from the standpoint of, you have a very young offensive line. You have a young quarterback. You have a bunch of new pieces that you've added in the offseason, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, that are going to need live reps together in order to get up to speed quickly. So it sounds like it's going to be a different approach from Brian Callahan than we're used to seeing in the preseason.
Yeah, and so I would think a lot of Titans fans would like to hear that and would be excited about it. And I get it, especially if you are being asked to pay any money to go to these preseason games, without question. I mean, didn't Vrabel say one time like Tannehill was going to play in a game and then he didn't? I think that happened, right? Like,
I think so.
You know, come on. I just personally, I wouldn't do it.
I think he did play. I think he got out there, took a snap, handed it off three times and then was out of there.
Is that what it was? Yeah. You know, come on.
He got out there.
He did. Technically, he played. I personally would be petrified of doing too much with my starters in preseason games at this point. And I think, you know, Vrabel changed on that, too, from the beginning pretty quickly. Just – and I understand, look, a lot of the worst injuries that happen to these guys is just an odd plant, non-contact in some drill in practice. And that's how a lot of the ACLs happen. So – and Achilles happened that way. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can get hurt. I still would be pretty afraid of it. But I agree. I think with the offense, especially, you know, because, like, the defense, yeah, they need work and all that stuff. I'm not.
Jeffrey Simmons doesn't need
to. I'm not a big fan of those guys tackling people to the ground. And, like, and plus, there isn't really game planning in the preseason games. People are just working on their stuff. So, like, I don't think there's a ton of value in a defense being out there together. I do think that the offensive line working together, and yeah, like Levison's receivers, but again, Levison's receivers, that's daily.
Yeah.
So does it matter if they're in a game where they're tackling to the ground now?
Main thing is the line, I think.
I think so too.
Well,
like that's where it probably makes sense to do a few series.
Yeah.
Like that first game, you would think, you know, do a decent chunk of the first half. But then, you know, the minute someone gets concussed or whatever, or all of a sudden the shoulder's hurt and they're looking at the sideline, you're like, ah, oh, it's a freaking preseason game.
Yeah, I mean, there's a risk that comes with it. But, I mean, like you said, I mean, you can go through a 7-on-7 drill and somebody plants the wrong way and then their season's over. I mean, it happens unfortunately, there will be that will happen to somebody in the league this year, right? I mean, there will be somebody that is a relatively big name player that gets hurt in training camp, and they're done for half a season or done for the whole year. I mean, it happens every year. So I think there's always some risk. You want to mitigate it as much as you can. And again, like, you know, we've gotten so much from listeners the last couple years of starters should play more in the preseason. If starters played more in the preseason, they'd be ready to go quicker. You know, you think back to the Giants game a couple years ago at home where it was a slow start.
Yep.
And you know, the Saints game last year, you know, Tannehill couldn't hit the broadside of a barn last year in that game.
There's been some bad performances overall in the last three openers.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of conversation about preseason.
And I need to – yeah. So then I just need to see the alternative reality of they played those guys a few more series in the preseason, and all of a sudden it's different. It's possible.
I don't know.
I can't sit here and say there's just no way. I have my doubts. I think that, like, rust in a real football game is very possible. This is not something that's worth my time. If anybody out there, PK is walking the studio. Maybe he can do this. Have you ever done the correlation, PK, between,
he's coming in very quietly too,
you know, between starters and how much they play and how much that translates to an opening game of a season?
If it translated a lot, Kenny Pickett would still be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers because he looked like a world beater in preseason last year.
Exactly.
It's just look. I'm sure it helps. There are some people that would rather play. Like, you know, Rodgers has talked about this before in terms of, like, he likes playing in the preseason. And he likes getting out there with the starting unit and going through, like, the game motions.
And knowing you're going to get hit to the ground.
And knowing you're probably going to get hit.
The only time you're going to get hit to the ground and have that kind of real threat is during that time. So I get it.
So I'm sure there's value. I'm sure that there's value. And some guys probably don't want any part of the preseason. It probably just depends on your personal preference. But, like, with this offensive line and with a young quarterback, I think there's probably more value. There's more value in it for sure than there has been when it's been Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill that you've been trotting out there, veteran guys.
Rodgers shouldn't play this year.
He should not. I would skip out on the preseason this year if I was him.
I'm sure he will. He probably has, like, a trip to Belgium or something, doesn't he, coming up?
Probably so.
That his coach will make an excuse for.
Do a live
stream.
No,
it's very good
live
for this team that he go to Belgium.
He and PFT
He'll
commenter.
Bring chocolates back for everyone, and that's good for team building.
It is an unexcused absence, but he communicated it to us, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
What an organization.
Yeah, it's gonna end really well, I'm sure, this year. Be really nice for them.
What if it does? How will you be conflicted?
No. I will not. Yeah. It's even Super Bowl.
No warm feelings at all for Aaron Rodgers?
I like Aaron Rodgers.
All those great years?
I like Aaron Rodgers. He's a great player for a long time in Green Bay. I'm glad to be rid of him right now.
A lot of Packers fans, though, like I've heard, if the Jets were to be good and, like, get to AFC Championship stuff, would then like to see him win a Super Bowl, because him winning a Super Bowl would get him – you know, even with Peyton, past Breeze, would you like that for his legacy?
No, see, I'm more, you know, we talked about this the other day with, what were we having a conversation about? Derrick Henry, right? Like, in terms of, like, going elsewhere and winning, I'm totally opposite. Like, I was a big Miami Heat fan. LeBron won two with the Heat. I don't want him to win more than two anywhere else. Like, I don't want Rodgers to win a Super Bowl somewhere else.
I did not want Dennis Rodman to win a freaking game with the Chicago Bulls.
See, there you go.
We are one.
That's part of hating the Chicago Bulls. Right, but you're trying to be the gatekeeper of fans. Like, somebody can't root for Derrick Henry.
Well, some of them are so dumb that they need gatekeeping.
Well, Derrick Henry got after you on Twitter the other day. What'd you think of that?
Derrick Henry and I have talked, and we're fine.
Since then?
Yes.
And what'd you say?
I sent him a note to make sure he knew it wasn't personal about him, that it was about fandom, and he said, yeah, we're cool.
Why don't you just say, hey, Derek, shut up? You have to go, Derek, I hope you're not mad at me. And by the way, Arden Key does not like some Paul Kuhar.
What's that about?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We were so confused by this.
Here's what the Titans love to do. They love to shoot off, but not say what it's about. That Jeff Simmons had a huge shoot off, but he won't say who or what. And
so
Arden Key comes at me, but he won't say what it's about.
I mean, the time
like stamp. when media does that, they go crazy. Well, what's this about? Who's this about? But they can do it. It's just willy-nilly, like, just fire bullets all over the place, but don't say who your target is.
It was Sunday night at like 9:30. I was like, what could PK have possibly done at Sunday night at 9:30 to get Arden Key so upset?
I sent him a text, too. I was like, hey, man, what's this about? What did I do? What did
he say?
Nothing.
Wow.
Ghosted.
You got a real problem.
Ghosted.
He must have been reacting to the Henry thing, right?
That's what I guess. But, I mean, how could you read that as me having a problem with Derrick Henry?
I don't know. But apparently he did.
Another so person that has it. Trouble reading.
Joe, you're going to have to
get another person has a problem with you.
Joe, you're going to have to get to the bottom of this.
I will try. I will. If I'm able to speak with Arden Key, I will ask him what's wrong with Paul Kuharsk.
Yeah, please do.
Other than hashtag cheek peek. We all know.
What's
there is a
he left a Y off of your name.
What's
the
Paul Kuharsk? You've been using that.
You didn't see his post? He called you Paul Kuharsk.
Yeah, he left off the Y.
Yeah.
Well, he's being efficient.
We want to ask him why.
I can't
why,
blame
Arden, why?
I can't blame a guy for being efficient.
We knew who he was talking about. He didn't need to spell the whole thing.
Yeah.
So good.
When we start this next hour, I have a few beefs with something Rex Rhodes said already.
Okay.
A few nonsensical things he said.
Oh, good.
We'll get into that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Paul Kuharsky will be with us for the next hour talking all things Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, the game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam. I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting than playing Chumba Casino. Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam. So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.